4, verses 1 through 9. This is God's sacred word, holy, precious word, the only one like it on the planet. So let us pay careful attention to it. Paul, writing to the Philippians in chapter 4, beginning verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my faithful laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful of nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you all. May God bless this portion of his holy word to us. And Lord Jesus, we are thankful to be here this morning, gathered together. We miss those that are absent from us, but we pray that they would return for their safe return and their joy in Christ. But join us now as we sup upon your word this morning with full confidence that you will grant a proper blessing to the heart and mind fixed on thee, through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. My mother-in-law, my wife's mother, whom I call Mom as well, I don't know if she still has this this sweatshirt, but she used to wear a sweatshirt that it said, "Don't worry, be happy." I used to mock her a little bit and say, "Don't worry, be happy, dance around." That's just a song that they sing. Someone sings, "Don't worry, be happy." And yet, I must confess that it's a biblical message. It's a gospel message. Don't worry, be happy. Now, perhaps the song, the way it goes, isn't saying the same thing as Paul here is saying, but this is what Paul is saying in other words. Don't worry, be happy. In fact, when he says in this verse, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, be careful carries the same meaning. It says, it basically means don't worry. Now, why would the apostle say this? Obviously, it's because, it's like saying, do not fall into temptation. Why? Because we fall into temptation. Do not be angry, but sin not, right? Because when we're angry, we sin. You know, we lust to sin when we are passionate about something, and in our anger, we sin, and you know we're given over to excess. Do not covet. Why? Because we're given to excess. We covet things. Now the only thing we should covet is prayer. You know, I covet your prayers for me and my wife and family. So in that sense, coveting is good. But in most senses, you know, as most sense, coveting is selfishness and is lustful and is wrong. Well, the scripture says, be careful for nothing or don't worry. It's because we are prone to worry. We're prone to be anxious. Who here has not learned this the hard way by being anxious and worrying about things, many things? Now, some people are built that way, so to speak, right? They're more prone to anxiety. My dog is like, he's hype, he's anxious about everything. You drop a pin and then he's like all upset. And there's some people that are much more prone to become anxious. It's sort of built into their network, well, their DNA, if you will. So it is something that is for real, and it's for all of us. I think we've all learned anxiety over many things, especially, I think, when you get, I don't know, at first when you start getting a little older and you start feeling certain things. I think there's a lot of anxiety about getting cancer. We hear about it all the time. And we know that some of the aches and pains that we felt long ago as young people are not the same when we get older. They could indicate a heart problem or a cancer and that makes people anxious. You know, some people more so than others. We worry about our finances, young people worrying about their careers, about getting a job and then keeping a job. We worry about our houses, our homes, our cars breaking down on the highway when we're far away. We have anxiety about a lot of things. And so we're no stranger to it. None of us are. And so that's one of the reasons why the apostle writes, because he's basically, God is saying, I know you get anxious. I know you worry. I know you get troubled about many things. I'm telling you, be careful, be anxious, don't worry about anything. Wow. Is that for real? Think about it. Right, I know you get troubled and you're worried and anxious about many things. I'm telling you, by the inspiration of the Spirit, the Apostle Paul is writing, be careful, be anxious, don't worry about anything. Wow. That's something. You know, anxiety, by the way, can cause people to go on to take drugs or drink, go into excess of things, right? Go to counselors. There's a lot of people that go to counselors because they're anxious and worry about many things. I know people that are worried about what other people think of them, and they have no idea that these people are thinking that. But they're worried about they might. I've been there too, I suppose. I don't worry too much about that anymore. I don't care, but I do, honestly. Not that much, but I do. Not enough to trouble me, but some people aren't like that. Not built that way. They worry about everyone and what they're going to think, what they do think, what they said they might think. You know, it's just worry after worry after worry. It's sad. Especially when God says not to worry. Jesus, right, in the gospel, what did he say? He says, don't worry about your food, your clothes, and your shelter. The three basics. Don't worry about any of that. God will take care of it. Imagine worrying about everything else. He said, don't even worry about the basics. God's going to take care of it. He knows you need these things. This is what people in the world do. This is what the Gentiles do. They worry about a lot of things. And I'm afraid we do too. So I want to talk just a little bit more about this worry. Then I want to talk about contentment. And then I want to talk about peace, all from these verses, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving for make your requests or let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, there's no way you are going to understand this if you approach it just in a intellectual sense. It doesn't work that way. This is spiritual advice. So this is not the advice that you might get from a counselor in this world who is not committed to counsel you in the Lord. They will not be saying, they might say certain things like this, but they don't mean the same thing. So we want to get into our heads what this really means. Now, before I get to the point of contentment and to the peace of God, which has to do with spiritual things, spiritualities, I want to just outline a little bit more about worry. Now, I must admit that I worry about our nation. In fact, I'm going to talk about that a little more, but not a political. I don't do political messages. I don't, preach Trump and all that. Well, on the other hand, I am concerned about our nation. I think a lot of people are. The corruption that is evident. I mean, we're not even aware of the stuff that we're unaware of, that's probably the iceberg under the water, right? The bigger part. But the corruption that has already been exposed in the highest places in government, on both sides of the aisle, so to speak, is just enormous. And then the corruption that's in the media and the immorality that's in the culture and society, that's something to be concerned over, isn't it? I worry, in a way of speaking, the direction that this nation is taking. Why do I worry? Because of our kids. Which, by the way, we have a number of kids now. More young people should be here in this church to hear such a message, because I don't know if they're getting it anywhere else. But we're coming to the point where you're being ostracized and even somewhat mildly persecuted, if I can say it that way, about rearing your children in the fear of the Lord and teaching them what's right from what's wrong, what's good from what's bad, what's moral from what's immoral, what the Bible says about certain sins and what its remedy is. And, already they've said you have to cast that out of the schools, for the most part, unless it's a private school. You can't get that way. You can't talk against certain things. And it's getting to the point where I know I'm concerned, and some parents are concerned about what to teach their children and how to rear them without being persecuted. Well, you can't be that way. Got to stand up for Jesus, not be a wimp. Many Christians are. I do not want to speak out. Now, I'm not saying be rude. I'm not saying be a rebel like a lot of these people you see in the news all the time, oftentimes. You are to be gentle and nice. Calm, peace-loving, so not to back down, right? So, if you say something like fornication is wrong, When you advocate for homosexual marriage, what are you advocating for? Sodomy. People are afraid to say that. That's what you're advocating. Sodomy? Really? But if you say anything like that in public, you are going to be crucified. Now, I'd say it eventually. Might not say it right away. But eventually it'd come out. And they would get, you know, I mean, forget it. It'd be terrible. So you worry about these things. You're, of course, worried about your health. A lot of people are worried about finances and how they're going to make ends meet in the future. How's my health going to be? How about the health of people that I love, my loved ones? What's going to happen with this illness in his life or that illness in her life? Am I going to get better from these? How long do I have before my diseases rear their ugly heads and take me down? Not all of a sudden, but sort of take me out of this world piece by piece. I don't like the idea. I worry about that. Concerned about it. Get anxious over it. Well, not anymore, but I did. Occasionally, I still do. We have here a word that says, be careful for nothing. Wow. Is that possible? Is that even possible? Is that good counsel? To say something like that? Are you making light of my worries, my anxieties, the things that I'm concerned about, my finances, my health, the health of my loved ones, the concerns I have for them, the society at large, the direction our society is going, our country is going, our culture is going, politicians are going, or all that stuff. Are you making light of this? You know, when you think about the things we worry about, like the future, like the way the country's going, the direction the country's going, like what's going to happen to my health, where's the finances going to come from, will I lose my job, and all these things, if you think about it, are out of your control. You cannot possibly control every detail in your life and of your life, right? Think about it. What is that saying about God? What are you saying to God? When you say, God, I don't like the idea that these things, all these things I'm anxious about, which is most everything I'm anxious about, is out of my control and in your control, and I don't like that. That's what your anxiety, that's what your worry is saying. I don't like the fact that these things aren't in my absolute control, but they're in yours. Now, isn't that insulting? Your anxiety, your worry, your doubt is sort of in his face. I don't like this idea that I can't be in control of this. And so it shows a lack of faith. It shows a little hole in your faith, a puncture or two or three or more. And in mine. That's what it shows. When we worry about things, especially most things that are not in our control, the direction of the country, that's not in my control. My health for the future, that's not in my control. Where are the finances going to come? I don't have them now. How are they going to get there? That's not in my control. I don't like it, God, that it's in yours. I worry about it. That's why he's saying, be careful for nothing. Do not worry about any of these things. They're in my control. And I have your best interest at heart. careful means that there is not one thing. When he says that be careful for nothing, it means that there's not anything, right, that should make us worry. Nothing. Nothing. Right? Be careful. Be anxious. Don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. What does that mean? It means it's not possible to worry about anything. It's all taken care of. On the other hand, he says, that we ought to be content above all things. In the same, in Philippians, tells us that we are to be content whether we have or do not have, right? Whether we abound in things or we do not abound in things. I am content, Paul says, in whatever my circumstance of life may be. I have learned to be content with plenty, and I've learned to be content with little. In all arenas of life, across the spectrum. And so contentment is the answer for worry. That's what the apostle is talking about here. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known, and the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Learn contentment is another way of saying all of that. Now, how does that happen? And here's where we become more and more spiritual. Already we've learned what it is, what worry is, and in the sight of God is to say that I don't like being out of control. I want my own talents, my own ingenuity, my own efforts to prevail, Lord. I don't want to place it in your capable hands. I want it in mine. I want control. And that's not the way it works. So now we're taught to be content, to let everything be known to God. And that's the way we gain contentment. Well, what'd you just say? Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Nothing's supposed to make you worry. I know it does, but it's not supposed to. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Okay, here is the solution. Here is how we gain contentment, which is the opposite of worry and anxiety, right? Contentment is to pray. These three things. This is how we gain contentment. Do you lack contentment? Then you probably lack prayer. You lack in prayer, you lack in supplication, and you lack in thanksgiving. So, by prayer, the apostle is just using a general term. Prayer is expressed in several ways. We can pray with we can supplicate, we can praise God, that's a form of prayer. We can pray in precatory prayers, we can say and pray several different ways. And so prayer is just bringing it before God, literally bring it before Him, right? He says, in everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests. When he says, make your requests known, it means bring them before Him. Why does he say that? Because God already knows what you need. He's not telling you to inform Him. He's telling you to bring up and bring out in your prayer before Him. Place it before Him, not before yourself. Not complaining to others. Not bringing it up to... Now, sometimes you have to bring certain things up. Yes, that's not what Paul is intimating here, that you can't bring it up to someone else if you have a problem with something and you have someone else that can help. But bring it up and out to God. Now, he uses the word supplication. Supplication is also translated petition. And it means to ask for a benefit. That's what to supplicate God means, to ask him for a benefit, to petition him to do something for you, like bring joy into your life, bring calmness, bring healing, bring help, that kind of thing. He's saying, with thanksgiving, knowing that he hears you, knowing that he cares about you, knowing that he is listening, believing that wholeheartedly, not doubting, because remember what James says, if you doubt, you're double-minded, you're not going to get what you want. You're not going to get what you ask for. But if you don't doubt, if you know that God is sovereign, if he's in control of everything, including you and your life, he's in control of all the aspects of your life, no matter what detail, he's in control of it. Just bring it up and out before him. Now, when he says to make a request or to bring it before him, again, I repeat, he knows your need. Jesus said this too in the gospel. He knows what you need before you ask. Why he's saying it in this way, he's not saying to inform God of what you need. He's saying to bring it up and out before him. And bringing up and out your concern, you're bringing up and out your anxiety. You're bringing up and out your worry before him, and you're placing that too with your concern and everything else, with the particular, you're bringing it all up and out before God. You're laying it on the table and saying, God, here it is, here am I, what to do. And you see, that's the way contentment works. You have to pray, you have to supplicate, you have to be thankful, you have to not doubt at all, you have to bring out your concerns, not to everyone else, but first and foremost to God. And that brings up and out your burdens, and it places it before him. And that brings in contentment. Now, is that easy? No, it's not easy. And that's the issue here. Because it's not easy, and I tend to be lazy, especially spiritually so, I don't want to do this because you know how I get away? I don't think I can. I don't think this is impossible. Look at him. Look at her. He's anxious. She's anxious. Everyone's anxious all around about all kinds of things. And by the way, it really doesn't mean that. The pastor, you're saying this, but it doesn't mean that. God doesn't mean everything. Don't be anxious about anything, that it's not possible that anything should bring anxiety into your life. Yeah, that's exactly what the scripture means. That's what you don't want it to mean. And I don't want it to mean, because somehow I want to hold on to my bad attitude. My anxiety, my burden, my worries, right? I don't know why. It's just making me ugly. Not physically necessarily, although could do that, I guess. But psychologically and emotionally. And do you want to be around a person that always complains? Complain, nasty, 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 reciting the worries, the burdens of the world, they're all, do you want to be near that all the time? Well, you know, you're like that too sometimes. I am. And it's not pleasant. And God's saying, here's a solution, contentment. To bring it up and out to me. To bring up this stuff to me. I know what you need, but I want you to bring it out of yourself so that I can bring into you contentment. See how that works? But it's not easy. And we're going to have to fight with this. Let me give you an illustration. Maybe this will help you understand what's going on with your life and mine. It's not a biblical illustration, but it's really a good illustration to bring this whole life of ours and, you know, sort of a double life that we have into perspective. You know, the life here on earth and the life that's about to come. Think of a tapestry, an embroidery. And some of the women folk know better this, but we all know what a tapestry or an embroidery is, right? We look at it and we see this wonderful work of art or design. And we marvel at it, right? But if you, that's the upper side. But if you go to the other side, the underside, what do you see? You see knots and threads and colors and disarray, a cacophony of different colors and things going all over the place. And it doesn't make any sense, does it? That's what our life is like now to some degree. It doesn't seem to make sense that these things are happening to me. And why is he taking away my loved one? And why is he doing this? And why is he bringing such hard things into my life? But when we go on to the other side of the tapestry, then we begin to see where those dark colors have come into and formed a wonderful orchestrated picture. A beautiful work of art. That's our life. When we go into heaven, we're going to see, wow, everything just formed the picture, a picture perfect of my life. But right now, I'm on the underside and I'm looking at all that confusion. And it's sending me into disarray and discouragement sometimes. I think that's really a fine illustration of what's going on here. And then he says, and in verse 7, and once you learn how to look at this and how to bring up and out your request, make the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds. There's two things I need to talk about. Well, three. The peace of God, right? What's that? How's that come? Well, it comes by grace because it's the peace of God which passes understanding. It's not something that we can, you know, like study and learn some more about and what each, you know, what the word means specifically and how, you know, the peace of God comes by grace. It passes human understanding, all understanding, because it's so amazing. It's so marvelous. What it's talking about is, you know, the peace and unity that is in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's that. God has invited you into covenant relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that brings peace and joy when you have a relationship. They call it, Christians often say, a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. When you have that relationship, the peace of God begins to overwhelm you and overcome these things in your life. And that peace of God, which passes understanding, comes by a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and this grace entering into your life, shall keep your hearts and minds. The word keep here is a military term. The word keep means to guard, to protect. And so what he's saying is that this peace of God, this relationship you have, this grace that God has given you in his covenant relationship is going to guard your hearts and minds against what? Against enemies. And two of the enemies are anxiety and worry, or anxiety and doubt. Those are the enemies that will take your heart and cause you and bring you down. The peace of God is the guard, if you will, the sentinel that protects you, protects your heart and mind in Christ Jesus from being attacked by anxiety and worry. So consider your anxieties and your worries, your doubts as enemies. And the only way to overcome them spiritually is not through counseling or through drugs or anything like that. They can help, but the only way to overcome them is the peace of God. The peace of God guards. It puts up a blockade against anxieties and worries. Brothers and sisters, give your life over to Jesus more and more, and you'll find this out more and more. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, bless us on our way. Bless us with these words today, that we are careful or anxious or worry about nothing, but in everything by prayer, making our requests known, bringing them up and out to you, to our God, that you give us the peace, your peace that comes through grace and belief in Jesus Christ, to guard us in this world from just going under, from being swallowed up under a care, under a wave of care and worry and doubt and such. Grace us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's, in closing, sing hymn number 629, 629. And let's rise up to sing this hymn.